Now, you might have thought last week when the leaders of France and Britain and the United States gathered before reporters and disclosed this previously undisclosed nuclear enrichment facility in Iran that there was a lot of unanimity about how to approach Iran regarding its nuclear ambitions. Here's Prime Minister Gordon Brown speaking at the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh last week.
The level of deception by the Iranian government and the scale of what we believe is the breach of international commitments will shock and anger the whole international community, and it will harden our resolve.
Harden our resolve? How is that possible, though, if there are disagreements under the surface? Joining us now is Mark Mazzetti, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. He joins us from Washington. Mark, it appears that while leaders may have a sense of agreement about how to take a hard line or how to approach Iran in advance of these meetings in Geneva on Thursday on nuclear issues, the intelligence communities around the world have very different views of the status of the nuclear program in Iran, and that's what you write about. Describe the differences.
Well, as you said, there's a lot of unanimity on some aspects of the program. For instance, everyone was in agreement that Iran was trying to do uranium enrichment at this secret location that was exposed last week. Pretty much everyone's on the same page there. Where there's disagreement is on another aspect of Iran's alleged nuclear program, which is whether they're designing a warhead, really the so-called weaponization program.
Well,
you may remember that a couple years ago, the United States intelligence community came out and publicly said Iran had halted the weaponization in 2003. U.S. still believes that halt is still in place, whereas some of their European and Israeli partners believe that they're proceeding apace.
Now, if we understand the nuclear cycle, as it's called, you have to enrich uranium to have any chance of using it in a weapon, but you can't simply enrich uranium. You have to do other things. What are the triggers which say unmistakably to intelligence officials that weaponization is taking place, and why would there be disagreement?
Well, it's hard to really gather intelligence about this. You can do weaponization work in greater secrecy than you can enrichment. In other words, enrichment is a bigger process, one where it's harder to conceal. Therefore, it's one where it's easier for spy agencies to kind of get on the same page to share intelligence. It is more difficult to get a sense of whether they're doing this design work, where it's being done, in what locations, military or civilian around the country, or whether Iran is just intending to buy a kind of off the shelf weapons design from another country that already has nuclear weapons.
Well, let's take the off the shelf issue. Let's take the off the shelf issue off the table for just a moment and get to it before the end of the segment. But the whole process of enriching uranium actually lends itself to secret weaponization, because you're using a giant centrifuge-based factory to take huge amounts of mined uranium and turning it into extremely tiny amounts of enriched uranium, which can be concealed. Why do the Israelis and the Germans, for instance, believe that weaponization is taking place? Is it technological intelligence or something that they were told?
Well, it's still a little bit unclear about why these countries are taking this position. The Israelis, according to officials we've spoken to, believe that weapons work resumed in 2005. They believe on the direct order of Iran's supreme leader. Now, when the American intelligence officials press them on this, at least according to Americans, they say the Israelis don't have really hard documentary evidence to prove that this work continued in 2005. It would have to be a sort of a memo or some kind of letter or some kind of internal communications. This is what they're trying to sift out now. The Germans, according to some publicly released documents last year, believe the work never halted. So it's, as I said, a difficult sort of intelligence puzzle, whereas on the enrichment side, as you said, this is something that there's a technological process. You have to turn low-enriched uranium into high-enriched uranium, and this is something that is to some extent easier to spot.
Well, we spoke with your colleague David Sanger, who's on the byline in your piece this morning in the New York Times, and you know, we talked a little bit about what's likely to come up on Thursday. Is there any way for the leaders of the G5 to project anonymity on this question of weaponization, or do they simply say to the Iranians, prove to us you are not weaponizing on Thursday?
Well, I think that they may even try to mask over any differences they have and present a united front. Because as we saw last week, there is a lot they agree on. And I mean, many nuclear experts will tell you the hardest part of any nuclear program is enriching uranium. That is, 80 to 90% of the whole matter. So if everyone agrees that Iran is secretly trying to enrich uranium, presumably for some kind of weapons purpose, then everyone can agree and sort of hit Iran with that. And as we saw last week, they intend to use this sort of as a diplomatic cudgel to get Iran to, in their view, come clean on other things that Iran's been hiding.
Now, on the Israeli question for just a moment, the Iranians claim that the Israelis would take preemptive action and are presumably firing these missiles as a way of saying, don't attack us. But there is precedent. I mean, the Israelis attacked the Iraq Osirik reactor back in the 1980s preemptively when some sort of threshold of weaponization was reached. Do we know what that threshold...
Yeah, and they also attacked a Syrian reactor.
Right. That was much more recently.
Right.
So what's the trigger for the Israelis? Do we know?
It's hard to know. I mean, I think that the Israelis are certainly, I mean, the Obama administration does not think this is a bluff on the Israelis' part just to apply pressure. I mean, I think that Israel has shown that they are serious about this. Now, what ultimately would be the trigger? It's unclear. One interesting side issue from last week's events is, if President Obama, even in light of this, what they call duplicity on Iran's part, even in light of that, if President Obama can convince the Israelis, hey, we discovered the really big
right.
part of this secret program, and we've knocked it out, we've neutralized it, then maybe that buys the Obama administration more time for Israel.
Right. Well, we shall see. Mark Mazzetti, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, talking about disagreements on the intelligence of departments of nations on the Iranian nuclear program.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex, of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.